introduce some gentlemen. My name is Chetan Mofuke, the chairperson of the Select Committee. Let me take the opportunity to welcome the department, the commissioner, and your team. And maybe before you start with your presentation, allow members to introduce themselves and the team from the departments also to introduce themselves.
Masumani Makuba, a member of this committee. I'm a Limpopo, a former general of the police.
Dunga Matila,
from Kampala.
Matemi Hampel Makori, from Limpopo.
Ndivapona Zulu from KwaZulu-Natal.
Louise Zamande, we whip off the committee from Pietermaritzburg, the city of choice, KwaZulu-Natal.
Good afternoon, Chair. Sorry, you know, I'm just from the hospital. I'm John Gunda. I'm from the Northern Cape. I represent the hottest place in this country. Thank you.
You can introduce the team, Commissioner.
Chairperson, members of the Select Committee. I'm Tom Moyan. I'm the National Commissioner of Department of Correctional Services, the hardest department to be with.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Jenny Schreiner, Chief Deputy Commissioner, Operations Management Support.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members. My name is Nandine Mareka. I'm Deputy Commissioner for Financial and Management Accounting, representing the Chief Financial Officer.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honourable members. I'm Charlie Kutia, the Deputy Commissioner for Operations.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members of the committee. My name is P. Kombambo. I'm the Deputy Commissioner responsible for intergovernmental relations. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Jeff Muji. I'm the acting government IT officer.
Good afternoon, Chair and the honourable members of the Select Committee. My name is Grace Moladedi, the Deputy Regional Commissioner of the State and Northern Cape. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honourable members. My name is Terence Rothroka. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Executive Management in the Office of the National Commission.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the Select Committee. My name is Zakaria Modise, the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for corrections in the Office of the National Commissioner. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, honourable members. My name is Sven de Kock, Head of the Enterprise Program Management Office.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My name is Kenny Bower. I am the Deputy Commissioner for Gauteng. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. I am Nontsikelelo Lojolingana. The last time I interacted with this committee, I was in the Eastern Cape as Regional Commissioner. I'm no longer there. I'm at head office and I'm Chief Deputy Commissioner for Development and Care. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and the members of the committee. My name is Bosnati Pekfas, Deputy Commissioner of Eastern Cape.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honourable members. My name is Sebastian Murthy. I'm the Chief Deputy Commissioner of the African Correctional Service Association in SADC at National Office. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, honourable members. I'm James Smallberger, Regional Commissioner of the Western Cape. Thank you.
afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Solima Sibela. I'm the Chief of Staff in the Ministry of Correctional Services.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and the committee. My name is Mamel Lomurodi. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry.
Before you continue the presentation, Commissioner, I have the pleasure of welcoming into our midst Fusi Mofokeng and Sugolo Mokwena, who for the past 19 years were in the correctional service, and they petitioned Parliament because they believed that they were convicted of a crime they did not commit. And the Petitions Committee interacted with the Minister of Correctional Services, and ultimately released them. And we also requested to convey our appreciation to the minister that indeed we are very pleased that after tough deliberations, the two prisoners were ultimately released. They are there at the back. Welcome, Fusi and Sugo. You can continue the presentation.
Chairperson and members of the Select Committee, thank you very much for having us this afternoon. It's an honor to be presenting to yourself. It is an honor also to be doing this presentation in the presence of our former inmates, Mofokeng and Mokwena, to listen to ourselves, providing with our strategic plan of this organization going forward. Chairperson, we have introduced ourselves. What I would like to indicate is that the presentation will be done in two phases, the strategic plan in terms of the outcomes as well as the budget. Allow me, Chairperson and members of the Select Committee, this organization is going through a process of transformation. You will indeed concur with us that when the Minister and the team was here last year, there were two critical positions that needed to be filled, that of the National Commissioner and the Chief Financial Officer. Those two positions have been filled. I am one of those who was appointed to become the National Commissioner of Correctional Services. In absentia is the Chief Financial Officer, who, due to the call of duty, could not make it to this meeting because we are busy with the process of the audit. And therefore, I would like to tender his apology so that it is understood that it is not to undermine the importance and the relevance of this meeting. It is because we want to aspire to a situation where the organization has a clean audit, if conditions permit, in the current financial year and in the future. The leadership has taken a different course, and I'm proud to indicate to yourself that the team that you see here is a team that is going to take this organization into a new dispensation. For a number of years, this organization has had consequent conservative audit opinions, which were negative. And therefore, we're also in the spotlight in the press for a number of things which do not put us in the correct perspective. We believe and trust that it is the leadership that is going to make all that is possible that we achieve the limelight that is positive in terms of the type of the mandate that has been given to us. But the department that is least understood in many instances, because we deal with human beings who have offended the society. We have a huge task of rehabilitating them. At the same time, request the society to reintegrate them so that they should be able to become part and parcel of the society that contributes to the growth of our economy. Chairperson, you have heard from one of my senior executives, Ms. Nsiki Jolingana, when she said the last time she interacted with you, she was the regional commissioner for the Eastern Cape. I therefore want to indicate to yourselves that in December last year, we started the process of change and transformation within the organization, one of which is that we need to be able to have leadership that is capable to be hands-on, leadership that can be deployed to any other region in the Republic of South Africa. to execute their mandate. I therefore want to indicate that Ms. Jolingana was the regional commissioner for the West Eastern Cape. She is now the chief deputy commissioner for development and care, which is one of the pillars of the organization. Mr. Modisa, who sits behind me, when last day she was here, he was the regional commissioner for Free State Northern Cape. Today he's sitting here in his capacity as chief deputy commissioner for corrections, the core business of this organization. Ms. Schreiner still occupies a strategic position of organization and management services. She still maintains that position. We have indicated to yourself that we have a new chief financial officer, Mr. Sipua Sokela, who is not here. There is a vacant post that we do have an acting person in the human resource, what we call corporate services. It's my chief, my deputy commissioner in my office, Mr. Rasarok. We have also done a bit of transformation in terms of what needs to be done in the organization. There was one branch which was called Central Services. We felt at leadership level that it is important that we should be elevating the position of government information technology into a branch. It is this, therefore, that we have Mr. Moji, Jeff Moji, as the acting CTO. Transformation and change is not a constant dynamic. It is an ever-changing process. It therefore requires that we should be able to have leadership that is able to deal with issues that affect the organization. In the month that we're going to start in a few days' time, we shall be appointing regional commissioners for Gauteng, for Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest Province. We shall also be appointing a regional commissioner for the Eastern Cape. But most importantly, I should think what bedevils this organization is that for too long we have not been able to recruit people. Such that it has impact in terms of delivery of the key aspects of what we hope to achieve as a department. Following the clarion call that was made by the President of the Republic, that government departments must fill all vacant posts. Indeed, we shall, in the current financial year that we have started, fill all vacant posts. However, we would like to indicate to yourself, Chairperson, and the members of the Select Committee, that the process of recruitment of key staff in the organization had already started. We had already put it in motion. From June last year to the end of the financial year that ended in March, we have recruited 2,000 or so number of people to fill some of the vacant posts. We therefore believe and trust that filling the remaining positions will not be a mountain too high to climb. Chairperson, what is key for us today is to provide you with a high-level assessment of where we are. Secondly, service delivery within Department of Correctional Services is key. We'd like to indicate that we participate fully in the JCPS cluster with our colleagues in the police, judiciary, and other sectors and intelligence. In order for us to be able to execute and implement the mandates that have been given to us. It is also important to indicate that an organization of this size has certain dependencies which, if they're not in place, will render us not to be able to deliver the programs that we have. One of which, and which is very key, is information technology. Information technology linked with other activities deals with issues of security. It will also deal with the issues of the programs that we do. But we've seen that if you have an organization where information technology services have collapsed, it is difficult for this commissioner sitting here to be able to execute their duties. We have a serious deficiency with respect to this particular aspect, and therefore we have a strong belief that in the current financial year and the expertise that we've brought to the organization, we shall live up to our expectations and deliver a functional organization. The other issue which we'd like to bring to your attention is the issue of recruitment, which we have indicated, but most importantly, to inject new blood in the organization. Because it's not sufficient for us to be lifting people in terms of position of authority while we do the circulation from within. We need to be able to bring those who will be able to add value within the organization. For this reason, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee, you've just listened when we said we have Mr. Sven de Kok, who is a special advisor to my office to deal with issues of skills development and project management. This is an organization that has a lot of projects, and therefore we need to have a sense of ownership of this project and be able to understand what project we have, where, which phase it is, and when is it going to be completed. And therefore the issues of enterprise project management will be dealt with accordingly within the organization. But fundamentally, when we deal with the strategic plan of this organization, it is important for us to look into the key drivers, the core drivers of this organization. So that you should be able to see what is it that you need to be doing. It is common knowledge, and it is known within the society, every time we appear before any committee for that matter, the issue of overcrowding becomes something that is a thorn on our side. Chairperson, this is an issue that we'd like to address effectively and efficiently. But we want to make it very clear here that there is no solution which we say will be available in the short term. Overcrowding is a problem that affects us and affects the cluster itself. It should not be seen as a problem of the Department of Correctional Services. Because if we relegate it to that level, then it has a possible impact on the work that is being done by the police. By virtue of its importance and the location that it has within our organization, we therefore want to indicate that overcrowding is something that core business and the support structure will be able to put our hands on and roll up our sleeves in order to deal with it. There are talks and discussions that are taking place that possibly building of new prisons might be the panacea to this problem. I, the National Commissioner, and my team, we believe there might be other solutions to this. Building of prisons is only one of those processes. But most importantly, linked to this, it is important for us to be able to be compliant with the prerequisites of the law, that we should be able to respond timely to the issues that affect this organization. That we should be able to provide a compliant atmosphere for a safe custodian of those who are in our facilities. But over and above that, that it is done in a humane manner. We say this with the humility that goes with it because we have the two gentlemen who have joined us today here, Mr. Mufukeng and Mr. Mukwem. That our duty in terms of international best practice is that, irrespective of the crime that might have committed in your society, ours is not to punish you, but is to provide space and conditions for you to be rehabilitated and so that after your release you are reintegrated in the society. But this is a huge challenge because it means, therefore, we need to have officers who are able to execute this task to the best of their ability. That there should not be punitive measures inflicted to those who are under our care. Most importantly also is the delivery programs, that correcting offending of behavior is our core business, and it's the one that drives us to levels where in, when they walk in the community, they're able to speak about the conditions under which they were incarcerated. Chairperson, in conclusion, I'd like to indicate that it is important that we use optimally the equipment and the facilities that are at our disposal, and also to use the budget that has been voted to us by the people of South Africa, and the taxpayers in particular, that we're able to execute our duties and tasks efficiently, effectively, transparently also. I therefore believe that with this short introduction, you'll have a sense that the strategic plan that we're presenting to yourself is a dynamic, document, and therefore it is bound to change with the situation that we find ourselves. We are presenting this strategic plan on the backdrop of the budget vote that the minister had presented on Tuesday. The number of things that the minister had said in a budget vote, and therefore those will also be part of the key policy drivers leading us to the realization and the implementation of the strategic plan. Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee, we'd like to thank you for providing us with this opportunity. We therefore request you, Chairperson, to dictate us as to how you'd like us to do the presentation. Thank you very much.
No, you can continue the presentation.
I therefore, Chairperson, request Ms. Jenny Schreiner, Chief Deputy Commissioner, Organization and Management Services, to give us a presentation on the first phase that will be followed by the budget and the figures that underpin the process. Thank you.
Yes, you do both of them, and then members would engage after your turn.
That being the case, I'll therefore request Dr. Joe Kutsie to proceed, and thereafter, when he has done, Ms. Mareka, representing the Chief Financial Officer, to take us through the key financial indicators. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson and Commissioner, Honourable Members of the Select Committee. I'm going to start with the first part of the presentation, and that deals with the strategies of the Department of Correctional Services. Let me just also say right at the outset that in the printed version of the strategic plan, you will find the different sections of the plan. The introduction by the Minister of Correctional Services, the Deputy Minister, and the National Commissioner. And the National Commissioner has taken out of that introduction important elements to share with the Select Committee. The Part B of this document, or Part A then, after the introduction, deals with the strategic overview, and I would just like to alert members of the committee right at the outset also that in our presentation we refer to the logic model of the Department of Correctional Services. That leads to certain outcomes for this department, and that can be found on page 14 and 15 in the printed version, the logic model for the Department of Correctional Services. Then, Honourable Members and Chairperson, Part B of the strategic plan deals with the actual plan, and that is what my presentation will focus on. If you will allow me, Chairperson, I will just highlight the strategies under the seven programs, budget programs that we have, and the detail linked to that is in the presentation that's been presented or provided to the members of the Select Committee. So I will just then deal with focusing on the strategies. The last part...
Just a moment.
I was just saying there's reference made to documents. I've not seen that document. I'm not sure, because if you refer to page so and so to what, then you have not received the document. It makes it difficult for us to follow. I'm not saying we've not seen it, that's the difficulty.
Chair, if you allow me, I was just referring to the printed version of the strategic plan that's been tabled in Parliament. So. That is the one. The other document that I refer to is the presentation that was submitted to the Select Committee.
Yeah, Commissioner.
Our sincere apology, Chairperson. Thank you. The members of the committee are right. We did send these. I therefore asked the parliamentary liaison officer our sincere apology for the oversight, because it is important that you do have both, much as you have the presentation. But be as it may, as she comes, when this document arrives, you'll be able to do reference, cross-reference. We sincerely regret this omission. We did send both documents in advance, so that you should have a sense as to what is contained as point of reference. Our sincere apologies, Chairperson.
Okay.
Commission. Then just the last part is part C of the document that just indicate the link to other plans. Then in terms of the presentation, Honourable Chair and Members, the first slide just summarises some of the aspects that the Commissioner has mentioned in his opening address. And I can just state here that the strategic plan of the Department of Correctional Services is embedded in the following processes or developments that have taken place over the last couple of months. And that is, number one, the outcomes-based assessment or evaluation in government. That approach has been taken into consideration with the development of the strategic plan of the department. The service delivery agreement that was signed by the Minister of Correctional Services for the President in terms of the JCPS delivery agreement. The logic model that's been developed within the Department of Correctional Services, as I've mentioned, that you will find on page 14 and 15 in our strategic plan. And then the DCS mid-year performance review that took place in November 2010, as well as resource considerations that has been taken into consideration by the department in developing this strategic plan. The strategic plan is then supported by the annual performance plan that unpacks the outputs that will ensure delivery on targets of key performance indicators in our strategic plan. And of the outcomes, the 12 outcomes that have been identified by government, Correctional Services incorporated 3 outcomes in its strategic plan. That is outcome 1, improved quality of education, outcome 2, a long and healthy life for all South Africans, and in particular outcome 3, all people in South Africa are and feel safe. DCS then also incorporated intermediate outcomes from the logic model that we've developed into the strategic plan. Now, Honourable Members and Chair, the strategic plan will be implemented in the department via the 7 budget programs that are in the department, and those are Program 1, Administration, Program 2, Security, 3, Corrections, 4, Care, 5, Development, 6, Social Integration, and 7 Facilities. If I may then go into those 7 budget programs and just indicate to you, Honourable Chair and Members, that how the white paper ideals are being linked in the strategic plan of the department, and then just highlight the area of the strategic area in the plan that we have.
Sorry for the interruption, but I'm lost. I don't, the documents I have don't correlate with what's there. I don't know if I have different documents to the others, but the ones, the pack that I got from the department doesn't correlate to that. Maybe I was given the wrong document. My page 6 that starts with program administration has measurable objects and not performance indicators at the top, and then somewhere down the bottom performance indicators. I'm just finding it difficult to follow you if it's not the same document.
Can I just explain that, Chair, with your permission, that we have the longer presentation with the committee. What I'm presenting is just a shortened version of that, but to make it easier for the reader, I will take the longer version and just indicate the page or slide number that I am busy with now. So in my presentation, you won't see the measurable objective because we've taken that out, and he will just see the performance indicator as well as the target that we have there. So for now, Chairperson and honourable members, I'm in your presentation. I am on slide number 6. So that deals with the SOC program, Operations and Management Support. And what we're saying is that this is aligned to the realization of Chapter 10 of the White Paper, which has as its objective safety, security, and order as part of rehabilitation. And the strategic area that we're focusing on there is the percentage of compliance in the Compliance Improvement Plan inspection. With regard to sub-program corporate services, that relates to Chapter 8 of the White Paper, and that deals with an ideal correctional official within an appropriate organizational culture, that is slide 7 of your presentation. Here we focus on suspensions, grievances that should be handled within 30 days, leave, vacancies, and the compliance with the employment equity plan. That is our strategic focus in terms of the sub-program corporate services. If you then move to page number 9 in your presentation that deals with the next sub-program, that is finance, there, the focus is on the spending of our budget, the contracts awarded to HDI service providers, and audit qualifications, the reduction of audit qualifications. That is sub-program finance. On page number 10 of your presentation deals with the next sub-budget program. That is the program Central Services, and the Commissioner has explained the development with regard to Central Services. So that sub-program, the alignment with the White Paper you will find in Chapter 3 of the White Paper that relates to corrections as a societal responsibility, as well as to Chapter 8 that has the ideal correctional official as objective, and Chapter 13 of the White Paper that deals with external partners. Now, the strategic focus within that program is to deal with or to focus on corruption or the eradication of corruption, fraud, serious maladministration, litigation, as well as to deal with the integration of the ICT systems, not only within the department, but also within the criminal justice system. And lastly, to manage perceptions of crime among the population. So that then, Chairperson and Honourable Members, deals with the program administration. The second program is program security, and that is on in your presentation on page 12. This program is linked to Chapter 10 of the White Paper again, safety, security, and order as part of rehabilitation. And our strategic focus there is on remand detention facilities, on escapes, on access control, and on the vetting of our personnel, as well as on unnatural death. The detail of that, how we're going to deal with that, you'll find in your presentation by means of the performance indicators as well as the targets that we have set against those strategic objectives. Program 3, that deals with corrections, that is on page 14 of your presentation. again, the relationship between the strategic focus here and the white paper that you will find in chapter 10 of the white paper, and the strategic areas that we focus on here is the involvement of offenders in rehabilitation, in this case in particular in correctional programs, that is to correct the offending behavior. The second one will be overcrowding, focus on overcrowding. Then the third aspect, the third strategic aspect that we focus on is the correctional sentence plans, or as it is put there, the sentence plans of the offenders. Then fourthly, profiling of offenders, that should be done within 21 days. The corrections programs that's provided by external service providers. You will see that what we have there is that we focus on correcting the offending behavior, and hence we want to make it clear that offenders should participate in corrections programs. The next area is work opportunities. That is a focus area for us. And then lastly, under a program corrections, the parole system, and in terms of corrections, is the participation in pre-release programs. If we then move to the next budget program, that is personal well-being, or program care rather, program care, in your presentation, page 16, the sub-program there is personal well-being of offenders, and it relates to chapter 10.5 of the white paper, safety and health of inmates, as well as chapter 11 of the white paper that deals with special categories of offenders. Honourable Chairperson and members of the Select Committee, our areas that we are going to focus on is number one, HIV and AIDS. You'll see that the first bullet there refers to testing. The second one, HIV positive offenders placed on antiretroviral treatment. And thirdly, inmates with a CD4 count below 350 who are on ARV treatment. So those three areas, testing, treatment, as well as those with a CD4 count below 350 on ARV treatment. Then another area that we focus on is the mentally ill offenders. Great focus on that category of offender. The provision of care programs by external service providers. The percentage of eligible offenders who participate in care programs, that is care programs towards the promotion of personal well-being of the offenders. And then lastly, the medical treatment for communicable diseases, hypertension and diabetes. So those are the strategic areas or focus areas under the program care. The next program then is development. And again, in your presentation, it will be on page 18. Page 18 then. The sub-program is personal development of offenders, and that, Honourable Chair and members, relates to Chapter 9 of the White Paper that deals with needs-based intervention plan. In terms of the personal development of offenders, the strategic focus areas of the department is literacy training, the participation in adult basic education and training programs, the participation in further education and training, mainstream education, that is the academic stream, and then the participation of offenders in sports, recreation, arts and culture, the participation of offenders in FET college programs, and that is in the main linking to the skills development process. Also, a specific focus on skills development, the participation of offenders in skills development, and lastly, the participation of offenders in our production workshops and the agriculture programs at particular management areas. So that then deals with the program development and the strategic focus areas of that particular program. Program 6, in your presentation, Honorable Chair and members, you'll find on page 21 of your presentation, Program 6 deals with social reintegration. And that's one of the areas that the Commissioner has indicated in his opening remarks that is of great importance to the Department. The sub-program there is Community Liaison. This link with the White Paper, again in terms of Chapter 9, that refers to the Needs-Based Intervention Plan, and our strategic focus within this program, Honourable Chair and members, relates to parolees. That our concentration will be those who did not violate their conditions. Then secondly, the participation of victims of crime in the parole process. The whole parole system, you'll see, is a focus within this budget program, as well as bail, and lastly, offenders with sentences of 24 months and less. And lastly, the seventh program deals with facilities. That you will find on page 22 of your presentation. And our focus here, 23 of your presentation. And that deals with the number of bed space created in order to assist the department in creating a safe, secure and humane conditions for incarceration. So there you will see, Chair, the plan in terms of creating those bed spaces over the 5-year period of the strategic plan. That then deals with Part B of the strategic plan. And the last part of the strategic plan, Honourable Chair and members, you'll find on page 24 of your presentation. That is just that this plan is linked, and as we have said in the opening remarks, it's embedded in certain other plans. We have taken consideration of resourcing, and you will find these plans. There is a link to the web page of the department created, and all these plans will be placed in that link for the public to access those plans. That is the Master Information Systems Plan, the Spending Plan, the HR Strategic Plan, the Procurement Plan, the Workplace Skills Plan, the Service Delivery Improvement Plan, the Project Portfolio Management Plan, and the Strategic Risk Register that you will find on that link. The plans will be placed as they are approved at the necessary delegation level. That, Honourable Chairperson and members, was the first part of the presentation, and then I will hand over to Ms. Mareka. You will just see in the last two pages, perhaps last one or two pages of the last page of the presentation, it's just the further process of what happens to this strategic plan now. And that gives you just the implementation of the strategic plan via the annual performance plan that will be tabled in Parliament on the 9th of May. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, we'll go through the 2011 estimates of national expenditure. Going through the summary of what has been allocated to the department over the 2011 NTF, and that is slide 26, start from slide 26 of the presentation. We'll go through the allocations per program, the seven programs that the secretary was highlighting, and also the summary of allocations per economic classification, and just some few focus per program and also per economic classification. On slide 27, we indicating the baseline of the department, which is 16.027 billion in 2011-12, increasing to 19.282 billion in the outer year, the 2013 2014 financial year. And on top of the baseline, there are some allocations added to our baseline. And the first one is the improved conditions of service. Basically, that emanates from the resolution that was signed last year, the implication of that over the MTF in terms of the normal general salary increases, plus the increases that was paid, the carry-through effect of that to members with regard to the housing allowance, which moved from 500 to 800 rands. So that has been affected. So what we're seeing there is not the total, but what is over and above the baseline. And the next one is municipal services. We did register to National Treasury a need for municipal services. If you would recall, the different municipalities is varying inflation adjustments to the municipal rates. That was out of the normal government inflation rate. So we get other municipalities increasing rates by 19%, whereas in the baseline we had about 5% general increase for goods and services. So there was a write-up that was made to get the increase for that, because the function was devolved some years ago to all government departments, no longer with DPW. And the other added allocation over the MTF is for the upgrade of information technology infrastructure. We do have a crisis as a department in that regard. It is not exactly what the department is looking for, but one believes that at least we'll be able to just do a foundation with regard to improving it. We'll continue to engage National Treasury as we're able to upgrade our plans in terms of ICT. The next one is for generators and cleaning material. One aspect, again, that was devolved to departments in the last financial year, previously consumables were with DPW. From 2010-11, they devolved that to departments. In that regard, we are receiving added amounts, not necessarily in 2011-12, there's nothing added, but in 2012-13, there's 120 million, increasing to 130 million in the outer year. And then we have facilities that have been upgraded in the Western Cape, and we were given money for the operational costs of those two correctional facilities that have been upgraded. Additional allocation to the baseline, again, is for the antiretroviral treatment for inmates. As we all know, that the qualifying factor has been kind of increased from 234 count to 354 count. That for disease had an impact, let alone that in our baseline, because for some facilities we were kind of piggybacking on the provincial health departments. Some health departments provincially had kind of indicated to DZS that they'll be charging us, so we had to get an additional allocation in that regard. Those are the amounts that have been added to our baseline. For 2011-12, it's 579.855 million. For 2012-13, it's 1.046 billion. 13-14, 1.147 billion. Then, on top of the additional adjustments, there have been an adjustment taking money from our baseline as a department. The first one has been the rescheduling of the triple P. If members recall, when we appeared last time, we indicated that there has been additional amount for the down payment of the capital infrastructure. That has been rescheduled to as and when contracts are signed, that will be reinstated. So what will happen is that as we finalize the procurement processes and get contracts signed, then we'll engage National Treasury for reinstatement of the figure. So it's not like totally abolished from our baseline, but it is suspended from the baseline to be reintroduced when contracts are signed. And Cabinet resolved sometime last year that from all government departments there should be some monies adjusted to reduce mainly the administration budget, and as departments we have to effect that Cabinet resolution. From the department in 2011 is 48 million, increasing to 57 million in the outer year. That adjustment was effected only in administration program and not in the core service delivery program. We, it's like 28 are indicating what is earmarked funds. Earmarked funds meaning we cannot apply the PFMA section 43 in taking whatever money to other programs. So those monies will be earmarked for the functions that we devolve from public works. The functions that we devolve from public works is the payment of leases for offices and staff accommodation, for municipal services and accommodation charges. So that is 1.4 billion in the first year of the MTF, increasing to 1.7 to 4 billion.
and then we have specifically allocation for the maintenance and repairs of our own facilities as the department. The first year, 52 million to 143 million in the middle year, increasing to 299 million in the outer year. Another amount that is specifically allocated is the capital works program, that is for the major rehabilitation, upgrading, and refurbishment of our correctional centers, that is 906 million to decreasing to 874 million in the middle year, and a little bit maintained to 874 million in the outer year. Per program, we're indicating to the committee on slide 29 the allocations per program for the financial year. We're also indicating the increase from the current, sorry, from the 2010-11 financial year, and the percentages in terms of the increase per program. For example, in program one, we're indicating that there was 4.056 billion that was in the budget of 2010-11. In the level 12, it increases to 4.4 billion, 4.8 and 5 billion. The percentages of increase that we indicate on slide 29 are just nominal rates of increases, not necessarily real rates of increases. And so we're indicating for all the programs. So in total, the budget of DCS is 15.427, was in 2010-11, increasing to 16.6 billion in 11-12. 17.8 billion in 12-13 and 18.8 billion in 13-14, and we're also indicating the percentage is that it moved from 7.34% to 7.52% and 5.74% decrease in the outer year, specifically due to the rescheduling of the CCCs. Hence, our growth seems in the outer year is negative because there was about 2 billion in the outer year for CCCs typically out. We're also indicating on slide 30 the allocations to economic classification compensation of employees, 10 billion increasing to 12 billion in the outer year, 7% from 10-11 to 7% in 11-12, and ultimately 6% for compensation of employees. Basically, the increase that as department is affecting is what Treasury indicates to us. It's not necessarily dictated to otherwise. Based first on what the labor movement and government agreed to the previous year and factored into the NTSA. Goods and services, it increases to 13% in the middle year, 7%. It is due to the additional allocations, as I've indicated in slide, I think slide 27, where in the money is added on top of the baseline of the department and then they stabilize in the outer year. Transfer payments, 4%. And then stabilizing to 5% over the two outer years of the MTF. Basically, for transfer payments, there's a link also in terms of the transfers to households for members who get their exit packages. So, depending on the salary scale, again, that will be your exit package if you calculate your leave gratuity. The other exit package is the government employee pension fund, not necessarily with the department. And payments for capital assets, this covers both capital in terms of the infrastructure, which is earmarked funding, and also other capital that as a department we would allocate, for example, the purchase of new equipment for offices and also for centers. So for the capital amount, it increases from 10-11 to 11-12 by 7% to 8% in the middle year and decreases to 6%. Again, the decrease in the outer year is due to the scheduling of the CCC capital contribution for that amount. Was going to contribute specifically for the construction of the 4PPP. As I've indicated under program administration, that is slide 31, basically what made the investment to increase in program one, it is for the IT infrastructure capital, injection of funds, which is 60, increasing to 210 million. And again, the municipal charges that have been additionally allocated to the department. I must explain that in program one, it's not purely administrative operational costs that you see. You also see some costs that are not necessarily administrative, like the municipal charges that are there under program one and the leases that are there. They're not specifically for offices. The municipal services that are there are for all centers of DCS. It was a treasury directive that for all government departments and the functions that devolve from DPW to departments, that we create a sub-program under program one. So constantly across departments that would have these charges in them, you'll see them under program one. So they're not servicing the government offices. It is the centralized funding that is there. Under security, we're indicating basically that over the medium term, our expenditure increases from 5.2 billion to 6.4 billion. Dr. Kuse has highlighted in terms of the strategic priorities pay program. I won't go into that. Under corrections, over the medium term, we see an increase of from 1.5 billion to 1.7 billion in the outer year. And care, I've indicated that there's an injection of additional allocation for ARV that makes the increase from 1.8 to 2.1 billion. So there is some real increase for care because of the added increase. And development, there's no additional allocation, just baseline increasing, plus 5.9 million, increasing to 617 million in the outer year. And social reintegration, there's no new investment in terms of additional allocations to the baseline, that's like 36. It increases from 542 million to 636 million in the outer year. Program facilities, as you've seen, you've got a higher amount in the first year, a little decrease over the 2 years. Basically, those are committed projects. In the last MTF, there was a real increase due to the PPP investment, but with that being rescheduled, we see a downward movement in the allocation in the outer year. But if you look at the year one, year two, there would be correctional facilities that will be upgraded, which is Bekkerstok, Escort, Sanin, Zuras, Nongoma, and Makado, to bring the physical infrastructure up to scratch. In terms of, which is like 38, in terms of the economic classification, again, we see a 10.2 billion to 12.1 billion increase, normal salary increases as agreed with the labor movement, and also the pay progression of correctional officials. The OSD that has been signed for correctional officials in DCS allows for a pay progression over a period of every 2 years, no longer every year. So that's why you would see in a mid-year an upward increase and a downward increase in the third year. The fourth year, it will pick up again. It will always go in cycles of 2 years, no longer every year. So one, when seeing a downward movement, it's not necessarily a downward movement, much more than the OSD resolution allows for two-year reviews in terms of the progression. On goods and services, as I've indicated, we've got additional funding there that pushed the allocation from 4.1 billion to 5.3 billion in the outer year. Payments for capital assets, again, there you see a decrease from 906 million in 11-12 to 873 million the outer year. In the next MTF, it might increase as we finalize the procurement processes for the additional properties. Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, maybe let me just take you through the last two slides, which indicate the provincial on the regional allocation, which is slide 39 and slide 40. So slide 39 is indicating how much is allocated for head office per program and the regions, and what is under the head office, because that indicated that there are some centralized funds that are managed centrally in head office. We're indicating in administration that out of the 2.7 billion that is under administration for head office, 1.4 billion of that is centralized funding, and it's also earmarked funding. So that one follows the directive. It's not money for any operations that are administrative, but it covers the whole department in terms of municipal services, leases, and also accommodation charges. We also indicate the region, housing, how much they will get over the 2011 financial year per program up to the last region, which is the 16.5 billion. And the following slide will also indicate per GFS classification, how much is sitting at head office and how much is sitting per region, and also indicating in terms of the centralized funding, because if you go to payments for capital assets, the 1.1 billion that is sitting there, it is basically four facilities, that is for the physical infrastructure, be it buildings and maintenance, be it the facilities planning, the capital work program, it is centralized in head office, hence you see that big allocation there. And also we indicate the PPP facilities, which is the current existing one, because the two current existing facilities, those are contractual commitments that are also centralized in head office, indicating that the rest will be per region according to economic classification, slapping the 16.5 billion for 2011. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. Honourable members, you can engage with the presentation. Commissioner JJ, Honourable Cody.
Thank you, Chairperson. A number of questions. I'll start with a comment by the National Commissioner. The Commissioner mentions the bringing up of these quality members on top level, appointing them there. What I would like to know, from those posts where they were removed, are those posts filled fully or are persons acting presently? If they're acting, when are they going to be appointed fully? Okay. Number two, overcrowding. Overcrowding, you said, Commissioner, that it won't be eradicated at a short time, a space of time, but it will take some time. If you are saying at a long term, how will you estimate these 5 years? So, you know, we must have an indication, otherwise it will just end after space of time, we don't know when. You said something about DECOG, who was taken into your establishment. Which DECOG is that? No, I just want to be clarified. Okay, we will hear from the National Commissioner. Okay. Okay, let me go to your presentation now on page 7. Page 7. Page 7. I'm seeing here you are saying percentage of person days lost to suspension, 10% reduction of previous year baseline. Just to give a brief clarity, we don't understand. This thing is scientific. Only the police can understand this thing. Just to be clarified. Page 8. I'm just worried about this one. You are saying percentage in compliance with the employment equity plan move from 15% compliance with EPP plan in 2011-2012 to 30. Are we succeeding with this equity plan? Because it's a story in the place, this thing. If you talk about it, you have just, I don't know how to put it. You know exactly, I'm sure the National Commissioner will come with it, or the operators will deal about this thing. Page 12. I'm not finishing all the questions, honorable members, because it is my field, this one. 12. Now here, I'm seeing bullet number 2 on page 12. You are saying, inmates who escape from correctional and remand detention facilities per year move from 036. Now, that figure in brackets, what do you mean by that one? We don't understand. Not we, I don't understand. Can we get a clarity? That one in brackets. This also goes to page number 21. I'm sorry, page 21. Where is that? So that's the case. Page 21. That parolee moved from 76. What I would like to understand, the parolee without violence. Parolee without violence moved from 76.2 to 81%. Can we get explained? Violence, what is that?
Violation. Okay. Violation. You read it correctly, and that's all right.
The last one. I'll go to OSD. I have not print yet. The lady, I'm assuming she was talking about the OSD. They said no. Why not every 2 years? No. Why every 2 years, not 1 year as it was indicated? What was the reason of changing that thing? Can we get the clarity? And then I'm seeing here on page. Yeah. When you talk the renovation, yeah, here. On page 17. Human resource and operational cost for service, Varam Gok Feld, correctional facility. The upgrading of inmates of about 550 personnel. What I'd like to know, what type of facilities is this? Is this housing? Or if it is housing, how do you relate it if a person is getting? Because I know at the correctional in the previous years, they used to get nice houses and they were paying very little. But it is the same story now. Because I used to sleep in barracks or to hire a place where the correctional services are getting nice houses. I said, no, I am having a jealousy now. I wanted just to be clear that day. The last one, I don't understand this. Alignment of the structure in line with the function of the Department of Correctional Services. On page 17, I'm seeing on 2011-2012 is zero. Then you start moving now on the 2012-2013. Can you just give us why only starting on the 2012, not 2013. Thank you very much. Sorry to have taken all the questions.
Honorable Gunda. Thank you, Chair. I would like to thank the department for giving us a briefing on the strategic plan, all that. I'm not going to go page by page. I'll ask the questions random. I thank the Parliament staff to keep up some research on certain issues that I'm also going to ask the questions on. Firstly, I see the budget has been increased, and if you look at it, it's not really increased net budget. But let me ask the questions. Questions that they perhaps it is in the strategic plan, they might answer me. Let me just ask them. The ratio of image towards official. That's the first question. How is that? And then there was something about the housing allowance for orders is about 800 rand now a month. Okay. Let me make it a one question. Housing allowance, medical aid, concerning, and I'm not talking about now the people that are sitting here. I'm talking about those who are far lower than you, like in the olden days, you see the COAs and two, the warders, the sergeants, the adjutants, those people. I'm talking about those people. I'm asking the question specific on those people. The housing allowance, the medical aid, is it? Are you guys happy? Is it really assisting them? Is it really helping them? I'm coming to your questions, to other things now. Then there's a problem with the facilities for officials. Some of the working environment. I don't know if the King William's Town, I think it's for and King William's. Yes, it wasn't King William's Town when we were there. Yes, King William's Town. That facility where they keep the awaiting pilots. We were in that facility. I don't know, is there anything that you budgeted? I don't know how far you are of that thing concerning how that thing is looking and people are staying there, people are working there. Even the toilet for the staff, let me put it
facilities, the toilet for the staff. I was in the toilet. I don't think if we really are serious concerning the staff that are working with inmates and we want to assist them, we can't have facilities like that. Then we come to the questions now. On the research, there was something that they explained the trends of the department. Let me just read it to you. In 2011-12 financial year, the Department of Corrections has been allocated an amount of 16, as you just said. The table below indicates that for 2011-12 financial year, the department budget increased by 1.3 billion, 8.7% in normal terms, in comparison with 2010-11 financial year. If one looks at the real increase of the budget, one can see that only a real amount of 568 million something. Now, here's my question. It is worth noting that the total amount of 16 billion. Now, the department an amount of 10.964 billion, 66% is channeled towards compensation of employees. Now, the question is that true? The other question is, I've marked them, I'll come to them now. On the program of correction, is it true that the total of 98% of the budget of this program goes to compensation of employees? Then there are, how do you plan to reduce the overcrowding from 40% in 2008 and 9 to 33% in 2013 and 2014? The overcrowding, how do you plan to do that? Then, the department targeted 22 facilities to be equipped with video remand facilities for 2010-11 financial year. A, how many have been installed? B, how many are still outstanding, if any? And C, what is the cause of the delay? Then, in program care, how many correctional centers are accredited sites for ARV treatment? How many sentenced offenders are in the correctional facilities with mental illness? Are the programs for offenders with mental illness in correctional facilities, are they in a very good condition? And then on program development, they said 78% of this program's budget goes to the compensation of employees. Is it so? Then what is the post-establishment for artisans and current vacancies rate in the department? What is the post-establishment for artisans and the current vacancy rate in the department? Then, in 2008-09 annual report, it was indicated that the introduction of national curriculum statements meant that the DCS, the department, does not meet the requirement of a full-time school because it doesn't have the human resources, the infrastructure, to support the requirement of full-time school. In addressing the sources of infrastructure, the department embarked on a process of procurement of temporary classrooms. A, what progress has been made so far in procuring such temporary schools? B, how many schools and in which correctional centers are those schools, if any? C, what progress has been made in attracting the human resource to provide full-time schooling in the department? Chair, I'm going to the last one. Under program facilities, the department needs to indicate to the committee whether they will build 10 dedicated remand detention facilities or only upgrade the existing facilities. Two, the department intended to complete 19 parole board officers for 2010-11. A, how many have been completed so far? B, how many are still outstanding, if any? And C, what is the cause of the delay? Has the department signed a service level agreement with NDPW? That's a question. How much has been spent on consultants and transaction advisors for the four PPP prison since inception stage until today?
I thank the chair and finish. Thank you.
Honorable Makobi.
Chair, thank you. I think members have covered most of the question the way I've been looking into this thing, but I will be general. I've seen on budget 2011-2012, nothing is allocated for ARV. So what does it mean? Does it mean that the inmates 2011-2012 will suffer? They won't have anything to drink for to immunize their body, to strengthen their body? Or maybe there's something, that's one general question. The other thing is on municipal budget. You have municipal budget, but are you paying them? Yes, because there is an outcry everywhere that the government does not pay municipality, the department does not pay when they build this department. I'm not sure this one. It's a general question. Just to have an understanding. The other question is just a comment to say, I think your strategic plan indeed does show specific targets, and one would commend you for that. As part of the program, you would see that there are specific targets, which in most cases it's rare, but I've seen it's not only 100%, but I think it's an attempt to tell us how do we tie you to accountability. But the other thing there, have you taken into consideration the delivery agreement that you have with the presidency? That's one other thing that we need to do. I already have that. Other members have covered them, really. They were too technical for the presentation. I think I'm covered by members.
Honorable Solo?
All questions that guys have taken now. And the only thing, just Commissioner, to make me understand, say acting. How many years sometimes, how many months we do away with the acting upon people in the full-time basis?
Honorable Matida, noted,
Chair, thank you. I think we want to welcome the presentation. Also, for the first time you have reduced your film staff. Because the last time you came here, you only had actors here. that is one error. But you see, what does not come out very clear to me is you're telling us about cinema, which you are dealing with. But you're not telling us about the vacancy rate. And what is it that you do? How are you dealing with that particular situation? And I think that is a key area taking into consideration the call that has been made by the president around making sure that all this funded coups are fit. Maybe that is one area. But you see, Chair, what also makes it difficult, and I think we need to go back and deal with this situation, in terms of the program and the way things have been, things look nice and beautiful. It is unfortunate because, you know, hush-hush we came into this particular process meeting to move forward. We haven't checked as to, in terms of the programs themselves, how did you deal with them previously? Could you spend? You come here, you're telling us there are programs around agriculture. I'm aware that previously, inmates used to produce their own food, most of their food. You go to Kalinan, those farms are straws, and all those things. You know, go to Bavian, that's what you find. You know, all that. You see? And that is why most people treat prison as a three-star hotel. Precisely because prisoners are no longer producing their own food. You have all these contracts because it's expensive to buy a lot of food outside rather than producing food internally, you know.
And in the presentation, it also indicates that, you know, it seems there's a lot of, and you're not giving us a sense around the consultants that are there. You see, I don't want you to become like Cape Town. Because you see, Cape Town, this city is run by consultants. Because they comply, but they don't deliver services. And I don't want you to move in that direction. You see? Because they comply, financial compliance is there. Now you need to, and that's what I want to check. Are you moving in that particular direction? You see? So that in terms of compliance, but we don't see the fruit around making sure that the services are being delivered.
Sure, I must object. We're not here with a political rally. I don't know what Cape Town and the consultants in Cape Town have to do with this meeting. If we want to make it a political meeting, I'm happy we can stop. But Matilda, Honourable Matilda, is totally out of order. We're addressing correctional services. But you can't be a rule on it.
Your objection is not to promote.
Yeah, check out.
Nothing is not good enough. We must withdraw that tomorrow. Punch our record.
Chair, my analysis say I was trying just to make an example of the problem around consultants throughout the country. And unfortunately, I had to pick up on the city of Cape Town because I'm here. I can do another example with another city which is not Cape Town, somewhere, because there was an outcry in the country when I was still in the legislature, where government had to take a decision that we need to make less use of consultants, you know, precisely because of the programs that were there, that consultants, because, you know, you have employees that are seated there, you make them redundant, then you bring in consultants that are paid thrice, you know, whilst you have employees that are supposed to do the same job, you know, and then that's what I'm trying to check with yourself, is that the situation? And this is a problem we have seen in the Northwest. Most of the municipalities are under Section 139 precisely because of consultants and all those things. This is not a political statement. I'm trying to get some sense out of this particular budget and as to what has happened previously. Is it? That is the point I'm trying to raise here. Maybe let me move on to other areas.
Is this a welcome? No.
Yeah, I've dealt with the issue around agriculture. Because you're mentioning agriculture as one of the programs. But what other production programs do you have? Because they're not spelled out in here. We don't have a sense as what is it that we are doing to assist correctional services dealing with some of the issues. This keeps coming in the step. Chef, you see, this term that is used this day, man administration, what is that? What do you mean by serious man administration? Because man administration is man administration. Now, if you say serious, what do you mean? That indicates to us which categories, which levels, because they're not spelled out here. You see? What do you mean? Because, you know, yesterday we heard from somebody else telling us about serious corruption, and corruption remains corruption. Now, today you come with serious man administration, it's something else. Maybe indicate to us what you mean by that. We are just looking at what is happening in the Eastern Cape now, around the detention of officials there because they have assisted some prisoners to escape, and three have been killed already, and then this thing about maladministration comes up. We need to understand what is it that you mean. Maybe, Chair, to me what is key is that far what has been implemented. You know?
in terms of the previous budget. You know, how much has not been used? Is the department ready? Are they there to make sure that what they have budgeted for this time will be implemented and will be dealt with? You know, so that we have a sense as to what has happened previously and what has to happen, what will happen in future. You see? And how soon are this? Because I heard the commissioner indicating that very soon they will be filling those particular holes. No, very soon might mean 1 year. Very soon might mean 6 months. Very soon might mean tomorrow. You know, I take this case of Mukwena and Mukuke. Last year in June, we were told very soon in June they will be out. And they were only released this year because, you know, of the way government went. Very slow, but they want to do things with a specific speed. You know, we had to come in and put in pressure towards the department to make sure that they are released. Now, we want to understand what it is that you mean so that we can put pressure on you to make sure that you deal with these filling stars and so that they are no longer there. We have people that can implement the budget that they put before us. Thank you, Chair.
Did you?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, for giving the second opportunity. There's something that I forgot to ask the department. Does the department have a promotion policy right now? And if they do have a promotion policy, since when is it in operation? And how does it operate? Then the other question is, this is a department chair that really needs serious attention. This department is at the core of rehabilitating people, offenders or inmates, to bring them back into the community so that they can be an asset for the community. Now my question is, the training that the officials are receiving and the correctional centers, are they suitable for their management units that they are really trying to do? Some might be suitable. The new ones are built to suit that management unit system. The old ones are not suitable. And they know it. And what is their plan to do with that old ones that are not suitable for their management unit system? Because if that system can be implemented throughout South Africa, and the officials have the right planning to work with these people, and the programs are right to assist these people, we'll have excellent people who are coming out of prison. Rehabilitated. But then, that I was asking, this budget, I actually can ask them this budget, who brought this budget up, are they satisfied with this budget? Where does they get all these things from? Are those things suitable for their work? Then the other question, there's something on page 7, they said, the grievances, percent of grievances handled within 30 days. Maintain grievances finalized within 30 days. Is happening? And then the other one on page 15, program correction. There's something that they said of a certain percentage of offenders whose profiles were compiled within 21 days, maintain 100% from 2011 to 2012 financial years. Is this thing happening? Really, it's a big question. And then there's another one there on eligible offenders with work opportunities. They said they will move from 41% in 2011 to 50% in 2015-16. Can they just clarify the parts of work opportunities? What does the department mean by work opportunities, and how will they really assist those guys to get work? And the last one is, of offenders, the percentage of approved parole dates who completed 3 release programs moved from 60% in 2011 to 65% in 2015. Can they clarify that? Because some of the parole boards, which I have visited in my region, many prisons, correctional centers, let me put it that way. And some of the guys that I've met there, they were at the parole board 3 times. Some of them are 65% already in their sentence. And some of them, they don't even have. The department has got no discipline record against them. and they are not yet even at a date for parole. So all I'm asking, how do they tend to improve this? And can they give us an example? Because we are in an election mood now, and fortunately for me, I have a date with Upland Correctional Services. I've got a date with Kuruman Correctional Centers. And I'm going back there before I'm coming back in May. I'm just doing my constituency job. That's all I'm doing. That's why I will always speak on behalf of the voters and on behalf of the inmates, so they can work together. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. I skipped one question. It's not a follow-up. We talk about the IT, money of the IT. Can we get something or a project which will sometimes be called the Moyana Project, which if a criminal is released now, it shows link to the police that, hey, there are persons, yes, no, eight. Are we having that in mind to have that type of linkage in the country? Thanks.
It's not a follow-up, it's an additional question. I'm trying to say you are also making an additional, I'm also making an additional. You're converted. Alright, to get something that came as other honorable race issues, you know, something come. What is your post-release support program? We have professionals in our communities. What is the program behind that? What is their post-release support when they're out? What is it that the department is doing? What is your link with them? How do you assist them so that eventually they're able to be on their own at the end of the term of whatever? Somewhere you talk of you want to reduce cases of assault from 2.5 to 2% to 2% by 2013, or something like that. I just want to say, because it's like this is a relative objective. I don't know how do you reduce anger? How do you control anger? Is there anything that would assist you to detect that the inmates, when they scramble for food, they won't pick it up? Something like that. It's a very important thing, but you know human nature has got many facets. How are you going to do that? Because if you can do this, then you will reach a lot of cases with it. And then it will be many. It can even reduce some deaths that come not because of natural evil, but because of impact. Those are just the two things that I mean.
No, sir, just the last one. Somewhere in the document, there's an indication that the department would have, by now, dealt with the parole board office. I'm not sure as to how many. Did they meet their target? You know, if they didn't, what is the problem? You know, so that we have an understanding as to whether is that in the new financial year. But my understanding is you indicated that in the last financial year you should have dealt with them. So that, because the difficulty in terms of our own experience is that in most cases parole boards could not sit in many of these centers. Precisely because of some of the problems that have been raised here, and a lot of inmates have been suffering because they could not come before parole boards because of those specific problems. Maybe if you can indicate as to a metric target, what might be has been the problem, and how do you think you will achieve that during this financial year? You know, what, so that we have a sense as to whether, in terms of what you have put before,
with is achievable. Is achievable. Because what we're trying to avoid is for yourself to bring those documents to us once you know that you can achieve that situation.
You can respond to
Commissioner.
Chairperson, I should think we have received a battery of questions, and we welcome that. Because what it does, it gives us an opportunity to do an introspection of some of the issues that we might have responded to ourselves glibly, but at the same time, show a level of engagement with us. These questions will be answered. In the main, some of them are complementary, and we'll try and respond to all of them. Allow me, Chair, to respond to a set of questions that were raised. The issue of actors. I had indicated to yourself that in my opening statement that we have acting regional commissioners for Gauteng, Free State Northern Cape, LMN, and the Eastern Cape. As I've indicated, Ms. Jorindana was the regional commissioner. She is now. I would like to give this committee an assurance that we will be filling these positions during the month of May. We have also indicated to yourself that the issue of overcrowding, we cannot give you a definite date. Overcrowding has a long term because it is not dependent on us. I did indicate a value chain aspect that the police, in their quest to eliminating criminals in our society, will always be arresting people on a daily basis. So we cannot dictate to them how many people they should be arresting. But I should think if we turn the question around, there are two factors. One is societal as to how we as a community respond to issues of responsibility, and our children being able to be given proper education and own houses. The second issue is socioeconomic. The socioeconomic conditions of the country also determine the level of crime. If people are unemployed, especially in a situation wherein we see in our country where a number of people who are getting to our facility are young men and women who cannot get jobs, and therefore the alternative is to divert to actions which should not put them will put them in confrontation with the law. Now, overcrowding in itself is a problem in the sense that while the police fill the processes, our jails become the end product, and we have no determination as to don't stop the process. But indeed, there are processes wherein we can deal with overcrowding, the reduction thereof. One is diversion programs, bail protocols, and all instruments that are there in the legislation that allows us to deal with it. Magistrates dealing with this matter. But most importantly, we are seeing overcrowding in itself is a scourge that affects us and the cluster. So it affects us in a holistic manner. We are seeing, with the numbers that we have seen, if you do a trend analysis of the overcrowding, we are sitting today in South Africa with over 167,000 inmates or offenders in our facilities. A third of those are waiting trial detainees. Now, it tells you a story. So if we were to make a round figure of 160, so if we say a third, we're talking about 40,000, about 60,000, yeah, around there, 40,000. Now, there it tells that the judiciary is slow. We have people who are in our system who are less than 24 months, where criminal cases have not been completed. If we do what you call an analysis of those who have been to court for more than 2 to perhaps 20, 30, 40 times because they're in remand continuously, it's not dependent on correctional services. It's a slow process within the justice system to deal with those cases. So if we were to take that out of the equation, we'll be sitting with what you call a very insignificant level of overcrowding. But we want to believe that the amendment bill that we have put before Parliament will help us, because it is clearly stating that the police will have a certain period of doing an investigation. And if the case has not been considered without that, within that period, that person should be released. So we're dealing with a problem that, from a face value, when you look at it, it would seem as if we are the culprit. But at the same time, these people are in our facilities. And the community will be very angry if these people are to be left to roam in their society. So we are saying it's a cluster issue, it's societal, but at the same time, that said, ought not to be in our facility. But members of the select committee, we're doing everything in our power, and it will be a miss and remiss of us to tell you that in the next 2 years or 3 years. So as long as the cluster system and the state decides as to how we deal with it, I should think the numbers will come down. But also, as the economy improves and people find jobs, we'll have less of those criminal cases wherein it's petty crime, crimes of poverty within our society. Dikok. The Dikok that we're talking about is Sven. This gentleman behind me is not the other Dikok who will be dealing with the EPMO. But Chairperson and the Portfolio Committee, the issue which I should think is covered in the number of questions here is of filling of posts. I did indicate in my opening statement that the President has given a clarion call. All funded posts must be filled. So we are saying in this financial year, that has started this month, until March, all posts shall be filled. But we need to give an indication that in the first quarter, we hope and believe that 50% of those positions must be filled. We must make it a point to set targets. But we have no other excuse at the end of this financial year in March next year to say we have not filled the post. Because we shall have gone against the grain of the decision that has been given from the High Office. So all posts shall be filled, including the junior post that you have said, a member of the committee. We talked of the senior position, but including all the positions, we're talking all the positions in this instance. Now, with respect to offender labor, I'm quickly helping my colleagues. Offender labor is a principle that we uphold very highly. We don't want our prisons to be seen as three-star hotels. But we need to quickly emphasize the fact that not all offenders will be eligible to work. I should think we need to make that statement very clear. Those who are serving maximum prison terms, there is no way we'll allow them to go and work in stands out there. They may be eligible to work in workshops closer to where they can be monitored. Now, bear in mind also, not all facilities or prisons have workshops, not all of them. And therefore, it makes it very clear that not all the prisoners or inmates will be eligible to go and do offender labor. The type of workshop that we have is agriculture, the fields. We have large fields. We do have workshops that deal with woodwork, making furniture. We'll deal with those with steelworks, making palisades, burglar bars, keys for the prison, and we also have a number of projects. Yes, inmates make keys to the prison. Now, what I'm saying here is that...
you're correct. Remember, even under revolution, somebody made a key in Northern Ireland.
Yes, Jenkins made a key to escape. Now, what I'm saying is that I should think if the committee would be with us on this matter, that not all inmates are eligible. So it would be a very small portion. But yes, it may. It's something that we do because work and labor helps the inmate to go through a process of philopatic growth and skills development. So indeed, the issue of offender labor is upheld, and we do deal with that. Now, with respect to consultants, we have noted this indeed when this management and the team, and the minister in particular, we are dealing with the issue of consultants decisively, but also quickly to indicate that there can be no department without a portion of consultants among them. But in our situation, we do have an abnormal situation of consultants. we are dealing with that. And certainly, there's an issue that we would not like to dwell with it in a detailed form here. We have a problem, but it's being addressed adequately. Suffice to indicate to this committee, the next time we come to ourselves, we'll be able to give you indication as to the levels of consultants within our organization. Because the consultants that we have in the main within the department are within IT. They were mainly in IT. And we are saying, as a department, as a leadership, the issue of consultants within the IT space is
very important. Sorry, Chair, we don't want him to go in detail to consultants, but in the department, can you just give us now the amount of consultants that you are using so when you come back, we can at least see if there was progress made?
If my figures are right, currently in IT we have around 97 consultants. And bear in mind, consultants in IT, it's a skill that you need. As to whether they add value is a different issue. But be as it may, we have a colleague who deals with IT, programs are in place. I should think he could share with you separately, not in this environment, and perhaps give the chairperson to progress with respect to this component, so that in your own space you could be able to interrogate exactly what we're doing. So we're dealing with the issue of consultants. Chair Escapes? Well, you may build any prison. You said it very clear that somebody built a key in prison, but we would like to have a zero tolerance in Escapes, so as to give the people of South Africa a peace of mind. But you do have lapses which go against the standard operating procedure. And in the instance this has happened, we take a very dim view and punitive measures are taken. You can only create an environment where unless Escapes are there because you follow the standard operating procedure. And if they happen, they should be at the very lowest level. I should think we'll be able to come back to yourselves because we're busy doing benchmarking, international best practice. Because there's no prison in the world that says there's no escape. Even in Alcatraz, which was seen to be the best prison in the world where there's no escape, there has been an escape. So we are saying best practice will be able to dictate and give us a sense as to whether the number of people who escape in our facilities is within the benchmark. But at the same time, we would like to maintain a zero tolerance to escapes. As long as these facilities are in good shape, and they comply to the basic conditions of employment of our officers. Chairperson, allow me that the colleagues should be able to lump together some of the questions so that with speed we give you a sense as to how far have we moved with the issues that you have raised with us. Thanks. I will not be able to prescribe there's care, there is corrections, and we have the regional commissioners here who will be able to provide us with their responses. So it's a number of questions. We've taken notes. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through the National Commissioner, I will address the question of schools that was asked. Just to say that as the department, we have engaged the Department of Basic Education and Training to assist us with the registration of schools so that we can make sure that the programs that we provide inside the correctional centers is the same programs that are provided outside. So far we have managed to register 6 schools as full-time schools, and these are at Use Thubeni, St. Albans, Barberton Medium and Barberton Maximum, Craydock and Tonjeni. And yes, Chairperson, there are instances where we use temporary classes. Appreciating the fact that our correctional centers in themselves we never designed to accommodate schooling, so you have to do your best within what you have. An example of St. Albans, where we are using the old quarters where members used to stay as a temporary structure for schooling. So we're doing the best that we can, and yes, there are instances where if, for example, we get a donation from companies like Transnet or this mobile corrugated iron bin, that containers that we also use them for schooling, because we feel that we can't wait for our facilities to be designed and aligned to the needs of empowering inmates. So yes, we do have in a number of areas still temporary facilities for schooling. The area of teaching or personnel, we do employ teachers as the Department of Correctional Services, but also one has to admit that we don't have enough teachers. There are instances, depending on the capacity really and relationships at provincial level, there are instances where the Department of Education does indeed provide us with teachers in certain instances to be able to assist. But again, as I said, it depends on their capacity also at provincial level. There was an issue that was asked about anger management and how we manage the anger. There is an anger management program that offenders are being engaged in, depending on whether this was identified as a need in their sentence plan. And this anger management program is provided, which gives them an opportunity to deal with the source of their anger, to deal with the symptoms, but also we try as much as possible to involve them in activities that would allow them to divert their thinking and direct their energy or channel it to more positive things, hence their involvement in development programs, which may include...
I just want you to have a boxing class so that when they exit, they
There is definitely boxing that is happening in our facilities. It's very prominent in the Eastern Cape, where we have produced even people that when they are on parole, they become national champions. So there is quite a lot of boxing in correctional services. There was an issue of how many ARV sites we have. We have 21 sites that have been accredited as ARV sites nationally. In instances where we don't have an ARV site, our offenders, when they are on ARV treatment, get referred to facilities of the Department of Health. There is that relationship that is standing with the Department of Health so that we ensure that whoever is on ARV does not interrupt the treatment. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll come back if there are other issues. Oh, while this preparing the King Williamstown facility, members of the Select Committee would recall that when you were at King Williamstown, we had said that facility was in the plan for renovations. The renovations have indeed started, and currently they are busy with the kitchen. And I remember that was the main issue where offenders were eating. They're busy with the kitchen. The facility would be, according to the plan, completed by next year.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the questions have been already responded to. I'll focus on the following. The parole board offices. Chairperson, yes, the department had undertaken to build parole board offices in the entire country. At this point, as we speak, 48 of these parole board offices have been completed and are being utilized. We do have 5 of them that are still under construction. The reasons for the delay, Chairperson, were that some of the construction companies that have been allocated and appointed to do the work were unable to do that because of the fact that they did not have the funds. They ran out of their own funds, and as a result of that, the process had to be restarted again, and the work has now been allocated to other companies that will complete that function. With regards to the video remand facilities, Chairperson, quite correctly, that 12 video remand facilities have been earmarked for the sitting of our courts at our correctional facilities. 11 of these video remand facilities that have been identified where we would be putting equipment have been completed 100%. It's a question of them now being promulgated as courts and that the system being operated. The only one that we are still not 100% is the facility at Mthatha, but we are at 80% as we speak, and we're hoping that by the end of May, would also be at 100%, and would then be taking that process forward with the Department of Justice in promulgating those sites as costs so that they can then become operational. I must also report to yourself, Chairperson, and members of the Select Committee, yes, that the National Commission of Correctional Services has signed a service level agreement with the Department of Public Works, with its counterpart in Public Works. That service level agreement has now been signed, and we are complying with that. Post-release programs, Chairperson, the Department of Correctional Services is also committed to having halfway houses in this current financial year. We would be piloting, but I must inform yourself that we do have programs for our probationers and the parolees. They attend programs on a weekly basis at our community corrections offices. There are times when some of them find it difficult, and that is why we are also trying to assist them. And the institution of halfway houses would go a long way in those offenders or those provisioners that are having it difficult to cope with the situation outside. Municipal services, as has been indicated, Chairperson, previously we had no budget for that, but because of the responsibility now being given to correctional services, we will be paying our municipal services ourselves. The Department of Public Works is currently doing that on our behalf, and we are paying our municipal services. That I can confirm to yourselves. Chairperson, I think most of the questions that were directed to corrections have been responded to. If there are any that I have left behind, I think colleagues will assist me. On the offender ratio, Chairperson, at this point as we speak, taking into consideration the totals of offenders versus those of officials who are at this point, we do have 41,000 officials and 160,000 offenders. When you calculate that simply, it gives you a 1:4. But Chairperson, which is not a correct version of the true ratio of those people that are working directly with offenders. We do have some of our staff that are doing administrative work, and we do have also some of our staff that are in our community corrections offices. We will, I think, be coming back to you to indicate exactly the ratio of those officials that are working directly with offenders. That one I do not have at this point as we speak, Chairperson. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the reason why I'm asking that question is precisely that there are officials who are working in the administration office. And I'm not going to mention correctional services names here. There are correctional services in a center, in a block. There is 112 sentenced offenders. You'll find 4, 5, the most 8 officials working there. Some of those are maximum offenders. Some of them are maximum offenders. That's why I was asking this question.
And it seems like the commissioner doesn't want to answer that question, because I thought he would answer that question first concerning the budget. Are they happy and satisfied with this budget? Because the main reason why they came up with the strategic plan to us is to brief us, and so that we can ask questions so that they can go back and do homework and come back and say, this is what we have done in the past year. And it's a serious, serious case check. Some officials have been stabbed and hurt inside the correctional center for the mere fact that there are not enough officials to work with the inmates. That's why I was asking. I'm not asking the question because I'm funny, because I want them as... No, I'm here, and this government are here to assist you. This government are not here to destroy you. We are here to assist you. If there's a need and you are afraid to speak up, you need to give that need to us. As a committee, we've got the right to speak to the minister and say, but this is not fair. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner. Chairperson, the responses that we're providing here, we're doing them with the best intentions, with no intention not to avoid responding here. When I said the issue of staffing, I should think that's a call. And we have answered in a manner that I believe we are saying all funded posts must be filled, which means even those in the coal face. Because you cannot have facilities working with understaffed, especially in the situation that they're describing. We are saying this organization, this department, is doing everything that is possible so that we don't end up with the ratio that is unacceptable. And therefore, if we deal with these things honestly and openly, this question, honorable member, we're answering it with the frankness and humility that goes with it. We'll be filling all the positions. I should think, member indicate, don't talk about senior management. Talk about at lower level, because it's at a lower level that are dealing with the cold face issues of managing offenders in our facilities. So we're talking about all the categories. Because ratios in terms of offender inmate must be such that it's able to make us be able to create conditions wherein escapes are not there. And we reduce issues of assault and shortages during working hours. These are the issues that we're addressing very frankly with yourself.
Yes. With regards to the research, the 10 billion compensation of employees, the total compensation of employees budget for 2011, it is correct. The amount for 2011 is 10.965 billion rounded off of the total 16 billion, which translates about 66% in total. With regards to corrections program, the 98% in the research report, the actual is actually 97%, so it's just 1% inaccurate. Development program, the research report says 78% is in fact 61%. So the actual compensation of employees' budget for development program is 61%, which is 343 million of the 559 million allocated to program development. With regard to the 2011 ARV allocation, what has happened is that in the provinces, because health is a provincial competency. So what has happened is that initially we were tapping into the provincial health for ARVs. National Health, they issued a directive, I think about 2 years or so ago, instructing all provincial health departments to bill correctional services inmates that are on ARV program or ARV program as private patients. We then approached National Treasury at that stage, and provinces didn't at the go implement that directive. Some, like Western Cape, were the first to start, other provinces left behind. So the relationship that was there before continued. But all of the provinces kind of gradually phased out the relationships with regards to correctional services taking free the ARV treatment for inmates with us having to be billed. Hence, we then had to go back to National Treasury, let alone the CD4 count issue from 200 to 350, which was an expenditure burden for the department. So it's not that there's nothing in the baseline. There is an allocation in the baseline. So what you're seeing is just topping up of that deadline for 30 inmates can be able to fully partake in the ART program. With regard to the question of whether the past financial year, the recent past financial year, the financial resources allocated will be fully utilized, figures have not yet been finalized. The process of auditing is still underway. The year has not yet been closed. But the preliminary figures, we call them preliminary, pending the closure of the financial year, preparation of financial statements, and the auditing process. So once that has happened, we then affirm the figures and publish them as part of the annual report, part four. But currently, preliminary, we expecting a 5% under expenditure. I'm saying preliminary. But that will be confirmed by our annual report that will be tabled by the minister.
Chairperson, there were some questions that have slipped. One of them was on page 21, percentage of eligible cases considered by the parole board, moving from 90% to 94%. What we are indicating there, Chairperson, is that out of a total number of 46,526, we did manage to see 41,873. Which is 90% of the offender population that we are supposed to have seen in that period. And we want to increase that to 94%, meaning that out of 46,000, we want to, by the end of the financial year, we want to have seen 43,000 of those that are eligible. Now, offenders at the different times become eligible after completing a certain portion of their sentences, and that is what we are referring to with this indicator. Chairperson, also the question that was raised with regard to the state of our facilities, yes, it is very true and correct that almost close to 90% of our facilities were not meant for rehabilitation, were actually meant to incarcerate. That is why we find it so difficult to provide and present programs to offenders. And that is why my colleague indicated that we're trying to also get some of these temporary facilities that we want to bring up to ensure that our offenders attend school. That is why, Chairperson, if you look at our ENE allocation, the second year and the outer year, we are indicating the revamping and the upgrade of our facilities in the same line as we are doing with the three in the Western Cape, Van Rensburg, Warenbrokerveld, and Brandvlei. That is what we're trying as our upgrading program to ensure that our facilities are also in a state where we are able to render rehabilitation and development programs to our offenders. I must confess as well, Chairperson, that the training that we are providing to our officials, Chairperson, we're looking at it from time to time, reviewing and upgrading. The department is committed in establishing its own academy in the same line as PALAMA, that is for public service officials. But why an academy? Also is to see how can we enhance the efficiency and the capabilities of our officials with regard to the new direction that we want to take of rehabilitation and development of our offenders. We are therefore geared towards ensuring that. And I think, Chairperson, once everything has been put in place with the leadership and direction of the National Commissioner, we will be able to have a closer look at the curriculum that we are providing to our officials, trying to ensure that they do have the necessary capacities and competences to deal with the kind of offender that we are getting in our facilities. The offenders that we have in Chairperson are better than those that we used to have. They are more educated. They have more money, they are very clever, and we then need to have an official that will be able to cope, who has the competencies to deal with that kind of offender. And I think that should be all for my side at this point. Thank you.
Chairperson, I wanted to propose that the only way for us to can properly monitor the whole process is through quarterly reports that we will be receiving, so that we are able to can check as to whether the department implements this, because in terms of the program, I don't see anything wrong.
Therefore, I wanted to propose that this particular committee that we have listened to the report, we have accepted. I wanted to propose that we endorse the report, you know, moving forward, so that then we then say it will be important for us as a committee to receive quarterly reports so that we can monitor the process and understand as to whether these programs that are so nice here are properly implemented. And I wanted to move that we endorse the budget and everything else as this particular committee. Thank you.
I want to second the proposal that we endorse and engage quarterly.
Thank you, Chair. I supported the proposal. Just one thing, Chair, to add there. There's a question that I really want them to answer. If they can't, they can in the first quarter answer. I would really love to ask to know, as officials as they sit here, as a senior management, are they really happy that housing subsidies 800 rand for the ordinary people and the medical aid? They don't need to answer now, Chair. They can come in the quarter when they come. I just want to know, Chair. Thank you. But otherwise, I support the proposal. It will be good to monitor, and we support this plan. It looks like an excellent plan, and I think we can get somewhere with the department. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question because I listened very carefully and with interest, and I have high regards for the difficult work that this department does. I'm glad I'm not in their shoes, but just the last remark tickled me.
Can we use the correct mic?
Alright.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I thought I had the elephant's whisper. The last remark, you don't have to write it down, it's in a lighter note. You said the prisoners are getting better. Are they getting better prisoners, or are they getting better at what they're doing to become prisoners?
On that note, let me take the opportunity to thank Commissioner and your team for the presentation. I think it has prepared us for the debate next week, Tuesday. And we will be expecting, as Honourable Member has requested, the report, so that we ensure that when we do the oversight, we compare the report we are giving with the work that we see on the ground. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.